Today's our history lesson. History of a man I don't think too many people have heard of. Anybody remember a guy named Alfred Dreyfus? I didn't think so. Anyway. Hello? We'll wait. Okay. Have you been accused of anything? Did you accuse someone of something? And the next question is, should we accuse? What historical or biblical examples are there for accusations? Does God want us to accuse? Well, the man today is Alfred Dreyfus. He was a Jew. He was born in a territory that was on the border of Persia and France on October 9th, 1859. His family moved to Paris, where he was raised in a rather affluent neighborhood. He grew up with monetary means. He married his first love. They had two children. He joined the French army and became an officer in the General Staff Artillery Division. After the defeat to the Prussians in the Franco-Prussian War in 1871, France was humiliated and slowly began to rebuild her arsenal. However, secrets of the artillery plans were found by a French female spy in the German embassy, discovered a letter torn up in the trash with secrets that only an officer could have known. Due to the initials on the letter, the French Anti-Semitic General Commission, they focused quickly on our man, Alfred Dreyfus. This occurred in 1894 when Dreyfus was accused. He was invited into the headquarters in civilian dress, where he was asked to write down words that were frequently used in only piece of paper they had as evidence. He was arrested on the spot. A secret court-martial ensued, and he was condemned to the most famous island that we know of, Devil's Island. There was actually a movie. If you want to watch that, you can watch that movie. In the military school where he was held, he was publicly denigrated. His stripes were stripped from his uniform. His hat was removed and punctured. His sword was unsheathed and broken in half. And I don't know, some of us might remember a TV show called Branded. Chuck Connors, same thing happened to Chuck Connors, basically. They had his hat pulled off, epaulets torn off his uniform, buttons were pulled off, his saber was broken, drum played, and the opening song went like this. All but one man died there at Bitter Creek, and they say he ran away, branded, marked with a coward's shame. What do you do when you're branded? You fight for your name. He was innocent. Not a charge was true. But the world would never know. Branded. Scorned by the one who ran. What do you do when you're branded and you know you're a man? Wherever you go for the rest of your life, you must prove you're a man. The crowd at the military school was sitting on the top of the wall screaming, "Death to the traitor! Death to the Jew!" Instead of breaking down, Dreyfus went to a moment to confess. Instead, he said, "Soldiers, today you are degrading an innocent man. Soldiers, today you are punishing an innocent man." And he cried out, "I swear that I am innocent. I am worthy of serving in the army. Long live France, long live the army." Then he was forcibly removed and taken directly to a galley prison ship, where he sailed at once for French Guiana. Alfred did not accuse anyone. In the spring here in the Northern Hemisphere, we too recall a passionate scene of an innocent man being taken to trial for crimes he did not commit. Passover in AD 31, Jesus Christ was arrested, taken to Caiaphas' house, then subsequently before Pilate, where he was accused of subverting the nation of Judah. He claimed to be a king. He claimed to be the Son of God. And if you could turn to Matthew 27 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 12. And it says, and he was accused of the chief priests and elders. He answered nothing. The example we have from our Lord and Savior is profound. Jesus Christ revealed the Father to those whom our Father summoned to his Son. Jesus did not accuse his murderers. Pontius Pilate, and if you can, if you ever see his autobiography, if you ever have a chance, I don't know how many books are in print for it, but it's a pretty insightful book, Pontius Pilate's autobiography. He knew full well why the Jewish leaders delivered Jesus to the Roman government. It's written in Matthew 27 and Mark 15 that they envied him. We are reminded in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. If you would, you could turn there. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. We have the devil as our only real adversary that wants to see the destruction, not only of the spiritual body of Jesus, but the entirety of humankind from this planet. It's not surprising he tried to show God, when he was able to, in his presence, what each of our faults are. We would do well to remember Michael the angel's response to Satan when he attempted to provoke an argument. He said simple words, the Lord rebuke you. Michael did not accuse the accuser. Alfred Dreyfus was sent to Devil's Island on January 5th, 1896. And that name was adopted from superstition that only demons and evil spirits could survive there. I don't think we're going to have a feast site there. Wait till you hear this. The tropical heat was rife for malaria, and those small islands had once served as a leper colony, only to make it become unbearable for them, and they were removed. Spiders are reported by soldiers bigger than a man's fist. Guarding prisoners was not necessary. You didn't have to guard the prisoners on work details because no one could last more than a week in the jungle if they ran off. Devil's Island was home to the most hardened of thieves and murderers. Thieves and murderers. Anyway, that's the military for you, for us who are in the military. Devil's Island, where'd I go here? The Devil's Island was home to the most hardened thieves and murderers. The vast majority of more than 80,000 prisoners sent to Devil's Island never made it back to France. Many died there due to disease, harsh conditions, sanitary systems were limited, and the region was mosquito-infested with epidemic tropical diseases. The only exit from the island was by water, and few convicts escaped. Alfred Dreyfus had the most attention given any prisoner in the history of the penal colony. He was watched 24 hours with a rotation of guards every 2 hours. He was never allowed to sleep in the dark and confined to a paddock and cell for his entire incarceration. And there's a reason there's no timeshare there either. In 1896, a new French intelligence commissioner named Colonel Picquart discovers that the evidence that was used to convict Dreyfus is forged. Because of the new information that had been uncovered in the German embassy. You guys German? No, okay, that's all right. I'm only kidding. The following year, Picquart discovered that the memorandum used to convict Captain Alfred Dreyfus had actually been the work of Major Fernand Wallace Esserhaus. Several high-ranking generals warned the colonel to conceal his discovery, but Picquart persisted and continued his investigation. When the new commissioner shares his views with his superiors, they rewarded him by sending him on an indefinite military campaign. Push him off to the side. Don't tell anybody. He went to French Tunisia. Matthew Dreyfus, Alfred's older brother, he goes around France buying newspaper space for articles to be written accusing the French officers of allowing the real traitor, Major Esterhaus, to go free. The Catholic Church, which had lost much of its clout after the demise of Napoleon III 20 years earlier, but they support the false conviction, and the generals declined one man's rights over their own authority. They had it out for this guy. The Apostle Paul, when he was returning to Jerusalem in Acts 23 and 24, he was delayed in Caesarea by a band of Jewish thugs who were intent on murdering him. He was protected and he was sent to Felix the governor, who was the former slave. And in Paul's defense was masterful, he said, "Felix, I have been here 10 days. That's hardly enough time to start a revolution or a riot, as they claim. Plus, Felix, I bought alms gifts to worship here in Jerusalem, so why would I risk not being able to do that?" Then he asked, "Where are my accusers who claim to know all of these things about me?" In Acts 24, in verses 24 and 25, you don't have to turn there, but Felix and Drusilla, his wife, she was also a Jew, heard Paul reason of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. And Felix trembled. Imagine a mighty Roman governor being afraid of words spoken by a man of God. But that's what's written. Even though Felix should have given Paul his freedom, Paul did not accuse Felix of injustice. Now, back in Paris, the most famous letter to the editor was published, and it was entitled, "I Accuse." It was written by Emile Zola, a very famous writer who championed the causes of French citizens fighting against corruption in his novels. In this article, it reads, "I accuse the government of condemning an innocent man. I accuse the military of knowingly using forged documents. I accuse French military of allowing Esterhaus to be involved in the investigation." This caused a near civil war in Paris, and the momentum was enough to get another trial for Alfred Dreyfus. You won't believe what happens to him next time. Emile Zola was arrested for libel, but he got lucky. He fled to England, where he lived the rest of his life. The lower French officers who were implicated in the forgeries were arrested, and some committed suicide in prison. Alfred Dreyfus returned to France after nearly 5 years on Devil's Island. It's a long time. He was a frail shell of a man, malaria-ridden, and a once proud, athletic military officer. During his next trial, the same evidence that was used against Alfred the first time proved to be false, but it was admitted anyway for the record. After the trial, the verdict came back guilty. But with extenuating circumstances. Emile Zola wrote from England, "This decision is one of the ignorance, folly, cruelty, and falsehood. Generations will shudder at the verdict. Even Jesus was condemned only once." It was so shocking, violence broke out, and civil unrest forced the president of France to pardon Alfred Dreyfus. It took 6 more years before he proved his innocence and was reinstated in the very same courtyard where 12 years earlier they chanted for his death. Now they cheered for his long life. Through all of this, Alfred Dreyfus accused no one. 100 years later, a statue of Alfred Dreyfus was made from copper, and it was presented to the military school to be placed inside the same compound where he was denigrated and then reinstated. But the anti-Semitic past has never quite gone from the French army after being humiliated in Algeria, Indochina, World War I, World War II. and they were publicly outraged at even the suggestion. Today, that statue is in a very obscure area of Paris, far away from the tourist-laden, I'm not a French person, so I won't pronounce this correctly, Champs-Élysées. Anybody speak French?
Champs-Élysées.
There you go. Thank you, Mike. I knew I wasn't going to get it right. Historians said that to put that statue there would be the equivalent of a statue of General William Tecumseh Sherman, who served as a general in the Union Army during the American Civil War in Atlanta, Savannah, and Columbia. Pretty strong guy. No one suffered more than Jesus Christ. No one endured more the humiliating degradation of being used by political leaders to die for an entire nation. Mahatma Gandhi accused the British of civil rights violations. Martin Luther King Jr. Accused the FBI of abusing its authority. Mother Teresa accused Christian fundamentalists of degrading Mary. Just because our society says great things about human beings, we know the truth because we have the truth. Jesus said to anyone who would self-justify themselves in John 5:40, verse 45, you can turn there, John chapter 5, verse 45. It says, "Do not think that I accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust." The Barnes commentary says Moses might have said to accuse or reprove them. He wrote of the Messiah, clearly told of his coming, and commanded them to hear him. As they did not do it, it might be said that they had disregarded his command, and as Moses was divinely commissioned and had a right to be obeyed, so his command reproved them. They were disobedient and rebellious. We trust in God. Vengeance is his. We must accuse no one because we are his ambassadors, not prosecutors.